Let's talk about tribalism, because it plays a very, very strong role in throughout a theme. I'm going to develop hopefully a theme in the next couple in throughout the last week's parsha, this week's parsha, maybe even next week's parsha, about the emphasis of on the Shvatim. And at face value, the whole thing seems a little bit superfluous, as we'll soon see. How did he go to you? Nice. Okay. So first thing we're going to start with is division of Chalukat Eretz Yisrael. We're going to see this in a number of different examples. So if you would like to, hey, you know what? Maybe you can take this. I'm not using this for much. Turn to we're going to do a little bit of jumping as we do usually. Okay. Turn to Perek Chaf Vav Pasuk Nun Bet. Chaf Vav Nun Bet.
What's
known
in English?
52. 26:52. Okay. We're going to get back to this, but the parsha begins with the count. It actually ends with the vengeance of the Midianim. But it begins with the count of the Jewish people, a very detailed count. In fact, it's not just the first count, it's the second count in the whole, in Sefer Bamidbar. It's very interesting in and of itself. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe l'emor. Pasuk nun bet. La'ele techalei ka'aretz
b'nachala. Can I stop? Can we make this Devorah Bakdina has just sustained very serious
wounds at
the center of her body last week.
Yes.
Devorah Bakdina.
Yeah. Imkvar. Imkvar. Oh, Shavu Rafuash Lima.
Leah
Devorah. Leah Devorah. Okay. Eli Techalei Ka'aretz Benachala Bemispar Shemot. To these people, should the land be divided in according to its inheritance, according to the numbers of their names. This is, probably the most important divvying up in the Torah, because you're talking about eternal division of Eretz Yisrael. You're talking about the future prosperity of your children. And obviously, what do you want to know? Let's say you are a Jew living in the desert at that time. What do you want to know? What's your biggest concern about the Chalukah?
What am I getting?
What am I getting? And, of course you're worried about that. What are you getting? Don't worry about it. Okay? I don't mind.
It got the floor.
No. Yeah, right. There's a take a towel in there, okay? Okay? What am I getting? But even more importantly, what am I getting? Not even more importantly, alternatively.
Am I getting less?
What's he getting? Exactly right. You want to make sure that what you're getting is fair. How do you do that? How do you make sure? How in the world is Moshe supposed to give out the land of Eretz Yisrael in a way that's fair? They've never been there. There's no surveys. There's no, you know what I'm saying?
There's no map.
What?
There's no map.
There's no map. There's no exact map. They have a general, broad map. Okay. And as we know, if you've seen the map of the Nachalot are very, very different.
But some land is more fertile than other land. Excellent.
Right. Okay. Exactly right. Some tribes are bigger than other tribes.
The question is there a huge difference with, you can say, Zvulun, they could make, the desert bloom, whereas Naphtali, they're a bit lazy, whatever. You better give them something good,
they're carpenters.
They're good with their, of course, there's the famous learners and supporters,
Uh-huh. Bottom, right there. Your comment is great, because what we're going to get to is there such a thing as the uniqueness of each specific tribe? Okay? Which I believe there is, which is, I think, what the Torah was trying to get at. But this issue of fairness is a huge, huge issue for everybody, because how am I going to get it? If I could show you, I would take out my atlas. You're welcome to pick a box. Okay? And you will see the Nachla, some Nachala is inward, some Nachala is on the beach. Some is up in the mountains, some is, you know what I'm saying? Some are much larger, some are much smaller, each according to their tribes. How do we divide it up? Says the Torah, Nun Dalit, L'Rav Tabe Nachalato. According to that, who has more, he should have greater Nachala. Ulam V'la Me'ad Tam'it Nachalato. Ish L'Fi Pekuda V'ten Nachalato. Each according to his number should be given his inheritance. How are they? There's a lot of Ramban.
What's the Ramban saying?
He goes, I don't. A lot.
Okay,
a lot. Okay, but.
Love.
Thank you.
I'm having a smartphone.
Your smartphones are awesome.
Okay? What
thing
is that? I just
went on
the tool and I wrote
nothing. It's great. You should know, by the way, now, in my shirim, when I need something, I kind of remember, where did the tzlach live or whatever? So, girls Google it up, and they ran on their cell phones, and somebody showed me what it is. Okay, so you can see, Yehuda and Shimon, Shimon be Yehuda, very large. Reuven, well, they're on the other side. Remember, why Reuven, God, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe on the other side? Why didn't they want to come
they
over?
They wanted more space.
Because
they
said, we are Anshei Mikneh.
Right.
We are cattlemen. Which is very interesting, the way they describe it themselves. You see, over here, Ephraim, Dan, Binyamin, they're like messed up. See, like,
tiny.
Well, Dan is
an odd shit.
We're Ephraim. I think we're in the Shvela. No, we're actually in Plishtim. Well, what can you do? Yisachar, Zvulun, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Some more, some less. Okay, so essentially, we have to see. Thank you very much. Essentially, we have to see. Pasuk nun dalid larab tamit nachlato larab tabe nachlato v'lamat tamit nachlato says that the nachla, the divvying up, will be, what's the essential word I'm looking for, that I'm thinking of, and hopefully you are too. We're going to divide it up in a way that is
fair.
Right? The more get more, the less get less. But basically, everybody gets what's right. Let's look at Rashi for a second. Look at Rashi on Nunda. L'larav tabe nachalato. The shevet shaya mirube be'uchlusim. That shevet, that tribe which has more population. See where I am, Rashi, Nunda? Oh, you'll find it. Not nu rav. They got nachlin l'krav. They got a big portion. V'afapi shalayu chalikim shavim. Even if though the portions were not equal. Sha'arei hakol lefi ribui ha-shevet chalku ha-chalakim. Stop here. Okay? So it's fair. That's important. It's critically important that God gives up, divides the land in a way that's fair. Pasuk Nun Hey, let's go back now, 54. But it will be done by?
Goral.
Al piya goral techalek nachlato bein rav lema'at. It will be done based on the lottery. There's a contradiction between A and B, which is what?
How can you give what is deserving if you're randomly doing it?
No, answer the question. Very good. That is, it's a very good question, isn't it? One second, the one that guy says it will be fair.
It's fixed,
it's
all in
fair. It's like, it's, I don't know, you guys don't follow sports, but anybody follows
there's
sports.
There's such thing as
such a thing that they, every year the NBA does a lottery to find out who's going to get the first draft pick. And there's always conspiracy theories that they wanted that guy to go there. Oh, they wanted that guy. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, here it implies that the lottery is like being guided by God, that whoever comes out for this thing,
is the lottery. Right. Is the lottery
fixed?
So then what's the point
of it? Then there's no point.
Very good.
They feel like the lottery, it's the way they make to make them feel like it's fair and random.
Can't have human involvement.
What's that?
They can't have human involvement. It can't be fixed by Moshe. Moshe can't be the one deciding.
Okay, rather we won.
We just went over Korach. We just passed by this whole issue of Moshe having so much power.
So we want God to fix it, basically. So that Rashi and the Chazal answer this question. We have to read the rest of Rashi. Let's go back to the Rashi on Nun Dalet. This is what I wanted to get to, because it's an amazing Rashi based on an incredible Midrash. Okay? L'rab tabe nachalato. Start Rashi again. Now you should turn back, because you should follow inside the Rashi. It's worth it. You'll find it. Okay.
It's just the Ramban's got so much to say.
Yeah, you can figure it out. You'll translate it for me. L'shevet shayam rube be'uchlusin, the tribe that had more population, natnu chalik rab, they got a big section. V'afapi shalayu chalakim shavim. Why? Sharei hakol lefi ribui ha-shevet chilku ha-chalakim. The greater the shevet, the greater is divided. Then Rashi says, lo asu ela ayidei goral. But they only did this through a lottery. How do you do that? Says Rashi, based on the Midrash, HaGoral Haya Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh. Says, when we do Goral, right, the part of the idea of Goral, there's, you know, you give whole courses on the idea of Goral in Judaism. There's a concept of Goral, of using a lottery in order to divine the godly thing. Anybody ever go on the Rabbi Arya Levine tour? You ever go on the Nachlaot tour?
Yes.
You did it?
From the shul.
What's that? Right. So if you go on the Nachlaot tour and you do it with Rabbi Aryeh Levine's grandson, Rabbi Benji Levine, he will take you up to his grandfather's shul and show you where they did the Goral Hagra in order to find out where the Lamed Hey, who the soldiers were. There was an attack during the mandate period on a group of soldiers, on a group of fighters. And they didn't know which body belonged to who. This is before DNA, obviously. They didn't know what to do because they knew who the people were. When they had the body, they didn't know who was who. They were so deformed. Mm. So Aryeh Levin did a Goral Hagra he did this thing called the Goral Hagra in order to find out which
name
went to which mate. And they buried them according to that.
Wow.
That's how they paskin that they bury them. So this is it. Never heard that? Freaky story. Okay. You remember that when you told that story? Yeah. So this idea of goral, gorali is considered divine. Right? We don't believe in non-gorali. That's actually one of the major themes of Purim. Keep peeled poor. Right? Purim is a lottery. That the whole idea of Amalek is mikre. They believe in chance. They believe that things just happen, that there is no divine influence. Whereas we believe totally opposite.
Karami Hashem.
What?
Karami Hashem.
Karami?
Kara.
Kara?
Mihashem.
Mihashem, right. But, oh, thank you. Mikre. Right, mikre. Karami Hashem. Thank you. It happened from Hashem. That's exactly right. So they did a goral. There's only one problem. When you do a goral lottery, it's not overt that it's from God. Like, okay, everybody believe. Shimon, you get the smallest portion. See? It's from God. It's great. Here, yeah, thanks. You know what I'm saying? How do you
That's
do that?
That's what everybody else believes.
What?
Everybody else believes
what you got is from God. That's true. Okay. So, Rashi says, this was not that kind of goral. The Gemara in Babatra says the following. Elazar ha-kohen hayam milubash urim hatumim. So Elazar was wearing the urim betumim, right? The choshen with the urim betumim inside. Omer beruach ha-kodesh. He says in ruach ha-kodesh, im shevet ploni oleh, Tchum ploni ole imo. He says, I'm going to pick. I have two lots. I have one basket in which the names of the shvatim, and another basket in which the plot numbers are. Plot number A4275 is going to come for Yisachar. Okay? And then, v'hashvatim hayuk tubim shnimasa ptakim. V'yud bek v'uli v'yud bek ptakim. 12 ptakim, 12 v'ulim. Maybe it was all mixed in together also.
But
so you'd have to pull...
He
says, I see, it's like, you know, it's like Lahavdil Johnny Carson when he would say, I see Shimon in number four. Right, and then you open it up.
They knew who the 12 Shvatim were, right?
Yeah, they knew the 12 Shvatim.
But the plots of land...
So God divided it up. I mean,
how
they divided it up?
How did they know how to divide it up? Like,
to begin with. The lottery.
Exactly.
That's an excellent question.
Because they're not even.
Yeah, you could have just made even.
They could have just divided into
the
lottery.
Right.
And
they
didn't
mark
do that.
Out the land.
How did they have? Did they have an accurate map of the land?
It's not.
The Moroccans did their job.
But it's so clearly not 12 equal fractions.
It was like from this river to this river, from this.
How do they know? You'd have to have sent
the Moroccans to them.
To be honest, it would not surprise me at all to think that Moshe Rabbeinu sent surveyors into the land beforehand.
Other than the Moroccans.
Well, the Moroccan men have done it. Maybe the Moroccans did do it.
Where did they get it buried at this point?
It went for 40 days. What did they do the whole time? You know?
Listen, if the goral was Beruach HaKodesh, you know, Hashem has the map.
So the land was
yeah, God
Beruach
does have
HaKodesh.
The map, right.
But also, funny with 12 equal parts.
Look at the map.
Why should it be equal?
If
you're a quarter, then you have to have different defenses. And if you're near the Kinneret, you have different advantages because of the water from farming. So
correct.
Just by splitting it up into 12 even parts isn't necessarily fair, because I'm sure...
No, it wasn't even. It was 12 non-even parts.
Even if it were, then you could say, well, look, you know, we have an even section, but look, there in the middle there...
Right, so that's why the Al-Pi Hashem addresses that issue. That's why it's Al-Pi Hashem. But what Liz is asking is an even better question. How'd they get the map? How'd they know how to divide it up? You have two possible answers. Well, one is, I think, one, they had a map. They must have had a map. And two, God must have told Moshe how to divide it up. That's what I always assume. Right, you know, here, take
he's
this.
Filling the missing pieces. Right?
What?
He's just assuming the missing pieces.
What else would you suggest? I'm open to suggestions.
I don't know.
You saw the map, right? You saw the map. Yes. Who would have thought to buy the map that way?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's exactly my point. I mean, that's the first time I've really looked at a map, but I've never, you know, never realized how uneven it was.
Right.
When it came to the Mishkan, right, then they had the vision. The three-dimensional vision that God showed them how it was meant to be.
Okay, right. Correct.
So I didn't, like... But
you want me to find you a midrash that shows that God gave a vision?
A holograph.
No, a map, God divided it up?
I mean...
I'm somewhat certain that I could find such a midrash. Assuming, of course, I had... I got lots of books. Pick a box.
Not
any box.
Problem is that even if they divided up the nachalot and stuff, it was very unclear. Like, not everyone's nachalot was completely captured right away.
But that's a totally different issue. The assumption was going to be And we have discussed this at length before.
I'm
not sure this year, or last year, the year before. In fact, I'm sure it was last year. About the Cheder Meraglim, one of the terrible consequences of the Cheder Meraglim was that Moshe didn't go into Eretz Yisrael with them. He would have encouraged them to conquer the land and not stop in the middle. And to which day we are suffering to this day because of that. And he exhorts them. The entire book of Devarim is about don't stop, don't give up, don't, you know, get rid of them. There will be seen, you know. He says it in next week's parsha. He says it in Matot. There'll be the sinim be'enichem. They're going to be thorns in your sides. They're going to be a problem for you. Make sure you finish the job. And of course, what then we do? We want to finish the job. And as anybody who reads the news knows, that you know, when there are people living in your midst, it's potentially a problem. Okay, potentially a problem. Okay, so how do you solve? Let's read on. What?
It's a problem. It's not potentially.
You're right. The Torah says it's not potentially a problem. It's a problem. It's an obvious problem. So Rashi says the following. So he would do this Ruach HaKodesh, and they had 24 little slips. Ubalalum bekalpi. He stuck all the 24 little things in the lottery thing, right? To wedding. Bahanasi machnis yado letocho. The nasi of each tribe would stick his hand in, pull out. Notel shteip takim. Olabi yado petek shel shem shvato. He picked his own shevet, each one. Upetek shel gvul amufrashlo. And also, he also picked out the petek of the gvul that the Kohen Elazar had told him he was going to get.
The fix is in.
Yeah? Is that enough for you?
If for him to reach in and pick out his own shevet, that's pretty...
And also it was pre-announced.
It was pre-announced.
Right,
and also
surprise.
They have experience with the Urim v'Tumim. It's like, they know that represents God's input into what the, you know, God's
so that should
answer.
Be that should be enough, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's read the rest of Rashi, okay? Yeah. It gets better. It gets better. The Hagural Atzmo Hayat Savach V'Omer. And the lottery itself would call out and say, "Ani ha-goral aliti l'gvul ploni. I am the goral for this shevet." Meaning, you pick out the thing. What?
The guy himself.
What? It's very Harry Potter. It's exactly right. It's the goral. Like, you know, like, I'm sure I did a riddle about this once or twice. You know what I'm saying? Sorting hat. The shevet ploni shne'emar, as it says, al pi ha-goral. Meaning, you look at the two psukim, right? It says, Ach bagoral yechalek et haaretz. Bye. And then the next pasuk, al pi hagoral techalek nachalato. What does al pi hagoral mean? It would say, the goral said. So if the fact that they picked, you could say, wow, that's just luck. When the goral opens its mouth and says,
this is your
nachala, that's pretty good. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, but it's interesting to note, that being the case, why did it need to be random? What's the purpose of the goral at all?
It's not random.
Okay.
Because there's something public about it also. Meaning,
there's no room
you can't cry, you can't say there was a conspiracy, and you can't, because everyone's there, everyone's a witness.
Moshe would come and say, God said this to me.
Forget God, let God say it, forget Moshe. The goral's there.
Yeah.
It just seems to me, what?
Superfluous.
And very nice. It just seems to be interesting that the idea of randomness does seem to add an element of fairness. Like when you pick yourself, there's an idea that your shevet picked you, even though it was divinely ordained, you had a hand in it as well. That each shevet would pick their own nachala. And that's not only you can't complain, you picked it. As opposed to it was given to you. That there seems to be some combination of, on the one hand, God giving it to you, right? God giving it to you, but your own hishtalit and your own contribution as well. Seems very nice. Obviously, mostly God.
But it's a fiction that you have to believe in, the randomness.
Yeah, isn't your job the same way?
What?
Isn't your job the same way?
My job?
A fiction that you have to believe in?
My life.
I didn't say that. I mean, you know, depending on our level of emuna, our hishtalit, it's a fiction that we have to believe in.
It's true.
The matrix.
So true.
Yeah. Right, it's so true. Okay. So
it's very Hollywood this morning. Really.
Although the sorting hat is like right there. You know what I'm saying? It's like very cool.
It's
right
in the sorting hat is not Hollywood, it's literature.
Okay.
She banked in on her thought. She cashed in on it.
And yeah, but it wasn't her original goal.
Right. If she I wrote those books, I would cash in it too. Okay.
The fact that it took off and whatever, it's just her good luck.
Based on these psukim, so we know based on this that everybody got their point. I want to ask another question, a different question, which is, why was the Nachala divided up by Shevet?
Instead
so
of certain character traits amongst each Shevet.
How else would you divide it up?
No,
family?
Because family? Because no, yeah, by family.
Yeah. Too many families?
Wow. It is by family. That's what Shevet is. Shevet is a family.
Why divide it up? I mean, we're all Am Yisrael. Why divide it up? It's just a source of friction and jealousy.
You have to divide it up technically because you need large groups of people living in certain areas.
Really? I want to put a big map on the wall. This is going to do. Put a big map on the wall. Make a Google spreadsheet, right? Put it up on the internet and say everybody gets a portion based upon your population of your family, right? You submit bids for whatever portion you want and whatever, wherever you end up. Really? Why? So you think the reason why...
It's 21st century here.
It's easier to do 12 than to do 600,000.
It's easier 12 than 600,000. You're saying that God is too complicated for God to figure out where he's
going. It's like natural jurisdiction.
What about their own ownership?
That's exactly my question. What about loyalty to your Shevet? What in the world is loyalty to a Shevet supposed to mean in the context of Klal Yisrael?
But hang on, but we're in the 20th century where everybody's the same and everybody's equal and everybody doesn't have to be equal, but everybody's not the same. Everybody has, it's like identification, just like, for instance, we were living in a very monochromatic yeshiva over here. We've chosen to live with people who have similar somethings to us. And everybody chooses to live in homogeneous, most people choose to live in homogeneous.
And what do we always say about that? And what do we always say about that?
I'm upset about it. But tactless, given the pros and the cons, that's what we've decided, because the cons of living in a mixed area, we said, were higher than the pros of living in a homogeneous area.
But again, it brings us to the question in the beginning. Does your tribal affiliation imply homogeneity, meaning...
Certain amount, I think.
Not necessarily.
Why? Well, haven't problem with it now. It's been the system the whole time.
To each of his sons.
What?
Yaakov, in the first place, he gave different brachot to each of the sons. That's like correct. They were meant to have a different future
personality.
Within the whole, but it was... You know,
each Shevet had their own...
Turn back to Perek. Turn back to Perek.
Everyone needs everybody else. So there is at the end. But there's you have farmers and you have scholars.
I agree. My point is to generate the question and to generate the discussion. And I want to show this to you in a couple of different examples. What I want to say is... I'll just make the upshot. What I would like to say is... I mean, God could have said, you know, I redeemed you all as a Jewish people. And based on that, the whole tribal thing was very nice. It's a nice idea, but there's no reason for it. Could very well have said that. It's very easy to say that. So we say today, Am Yisrael is Echad, where, you know, Kol Yisrael redeems Zebazah. We don't say Kol Shevet, blah, blah, redeems Zebazah.
Yeah, that's
good.
Why
don't we have?
We assimilated.
What?
And the rest of us are
so you're saying that was just by chance?
No, there was Sinai Chinam, and the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed.
Let me ask you, when the Beit HaMikdash is redeemed, when the third Beit HaMikdash is built, and the Mashiach arrives, will we be reassigned to our Shevet?
No. We've mixed.
Who knows?
We've mixed, and it's Balagan.
Isn't that supposed to be one of the things that Mashiach? Isn't Mashiach supposed to be able to look at people and say,
and break up marriages?
No, you don't have to break up.
No, not marriages. You're just neighbors and friends and family, right? You know what I'm saying?
It's generations back. This is married this, and this is married this, and this.
It all goes by patrilineal descent. It goes by five, by right.
But if you're
brothers and
essentially, it's not so hard to imagine. They'll develop a DNA test that'll simply be able to identify. We'll have the DNA of Reuven, right? Right, DNA of Reuven, and we'll compare DNA of Reuven to me and say which one of these 12 DNA is my ancestral DNA. It's not hard to imagine. He's alive.
Of course. They're going to take DNA from him when he's...
Do a little swab. What?
The
Kohen gene. It's not so hard to imagine. Because they were able to figure it out because they know the Kohen gene.
What about these lost Shvatim? They're saying that they found...
They were lost.
No, like the name
Menashe. Oh, right. Good question. I don't know.
Maybe that is a complete Shevet.
Well, the Mashiach will let us know. Do we go back to the tribal system? Meaning, it's hard to say no. Because if God divided, if this is the way around the Mishkan, how are we divided up in the camp in the Jewish nation? By Shevet. How are we divided up in Eretz Yisrael? By Shevet. When did we become mixed up? Like you said, Sinat Chinam, Chorban, etc. That seems to imply that that's not a good thing.
Why? That's a bit of a situation.
Right. That ideally, B'nai Yisrael are supposed to be divvied up. That we're supposed to be sectioned off according to our Shevetim. Seems very foreign to us. Very, very foreign to us. The fact that something seems foreign to me doesn't make it good. It just means I don't appreciate what it's supposed to be. You know, I share certain attributes that if I would meet all those people, I share certain attributes, we'd all just immediately be able to get along and I wouldn't fight with my neighbor about the garbage can all the time. You know what I'm saying?
The political parties in the Knesset will be by Shevet.
How much genetic disposition can there still be after so many centuries?
You'd be surprised how much genetic disposition there could be.
I'm sorry, you look at a redhead and you say, oh, a gingy, and automatically you assign certain characteristics.
That's so
Israeli.
Which also
is a
lot
of
the time. What?
Aren't we basically converts, people who are much white?
Ah, oh, you raised another question. No, but there still is the... there are people that are from converts, but they married... Eventually, the convert marries into...
A family.
Is there ever a family that's only convert? And never?
No,
the whole family converts. They don't marry into the son. The son has a son.
But the son is always a Ben Gibbon.
Their starting point
is converts. People, if you look at people who are naturally from this section of the world, they don't have pale skin.
You raise very interesting questions that people always say.
What's it got to do with pale skin?
How is it that we all ended up and that I look white and that, you know, somebody from Yemen looks Yemenite and somebody looks Russian and we're all from the same original genetic DNA? How is that possible?
I'm saying we're not from the original DNA. Obviously, there's been conversion.
Well, I'm saying genetics plays a part.
Most of us aren't really Jewish anyway.
Genetic plays a part in culture and geography. And
you should just know it is very interesting.
Adaption.
The association that I always make with that idea is when they established the United States of America. There was a general consensus. There was issues that were national issues, but then they divided into states, and the states were supposed to have individual autonomy to decide locally what do we want, what rules do we want to establish for ourselves. After the Civil War, that was gone. Right? There is no. It almost doesn't exist in America. I don't know if you have it where you guys come from. What?
Every state.
Yeah. It's so minor. It's so minimal. It's so insignificant as to be not important. But you could imagine each Shevet could have its own minhag. Like, think about the edot that we divide into. Right? Instead of, I wouldn't go to the Ashkenazi shul, I would go to the Yisachar shul. Right? And then they would go to the Binyamin shul.
And the breakaway Binyamin shul.
They call 12 shuls and yet Binyamin.
Just to rag you up, I heard they're building another shul. But okay, yeah. Anyway.
That's where the Yemenis show's going.
No. They're going somewhere else. Anyway.
They're also building a fake ice skating rink.
Skate park for the kids.
The skate park is not necessarily an ice
rink.
It says Dimui Kerach.
Oh, yeah.
It says Dimui Kerach ice skate.
Wow.
A red dot.
Hey, it is awesome. It's great.
Here,
wear helmets.
It's in the paper.
You can say that. So we should just have a shlompi yishuv and make it terrible, so nobody want to come.
We have a lovely yishuv.
I know. So I'm saying, she's saying the more nice you make it.
Right. No, she's not saying the more nice. The more specialized you become.
Mishpachat achanuchi. Reuven b'chol Yisrael aman chav vav. Hey, but we digress. Chav vav hey. Reuven b'chol Yisrael. B'nei Reuven. This is the count. But what's interesting is, I'm in Perek Chav Vav Pasuk Hey. I skipped. We're moving around. Reuven, B'chor Yisrael. Reuven, the B'chor of Israel. And then it starts counting. This is very unusual. It starts giving us the families. B'nei Reuven, Chanoch, B'shpachat HaChanochi. The Palu, B'shpachat HaPalui. The Chetzua, B'shpachat HaChetzoni. The Charmi, B'shpachat HaCharmi. It's very strange.
It's very strange.
What does that tell you? I mean, like, it's very nice. I'm sure when they counted by family. That was never an issue. But why do I need to know this?
They're all at the same surname. Like a whole lot of them were
Chetzron, Chetzroni. Well, they had tribes, and then they had sub families. I mean, I'm sure it divided up even more. You know, as generations go along.
Families in Yad-Binyamin today with that surname.
Yeah, says Rashi. Why do we need to know this information? Says Rashi. Interesting. The fish hayu umot mevazimotam, because the nations of the world denigrated them. Va'omrim ma elu mityachasim al shivtehem. What do you say? Why are they divided by their tribes? Svarim hem shalosh shaltu hamitzriim be'imotehem. Do you really think that the Egyptians didn't overtake, i.e., sleep with their women? Im begufam hayu moshlim, if they ruled their bodies, if they enslaved them, kal v'chomer b'neshotehem. How much more so? Like, what are the odds that they didn't, or they didn't? But didn't we just say that? Didn't you just say that about the Jewish people? Now, didn't we just say that? That was so. Nothing changes. The things they say about the Jews today, they said in Egypt too. Like, assimilated. They all look like Egyptians. Come on. I mean, really? What, you guys who think you're so special? The fikach itil hakadosh baruch hu shmo aleihem. Okay, that's why God put His name on them. Hey mitzad zeh v'yud mitzad zeh. Mishpachat hachanochi. Hey yud. Hakarmi, hachetzoni. ויד לומר מעיד עליכם שהם בני אבותיהם. וזהו שמפורש על ידי דוד, וזה על ידי דוד, שבטיה עדות לישראל.
It's proof that they're members of the Jewish people.
That they're members of the Jewish people. That there is something unique about being the shivteya, being able to divide yourself up, being able to, the distinctiveness, being a specific group. Okay? Now, there are other midrashim that talk about this idea. We'll see in a second. So the question is this idea of family, some midrashim, some chazal, take it in the direction of, well, there's an idea of family purity, that they weren't engaged in arayot. They were able to maintain their family lineage, their family linkage. Just as, I'll give you another example that the shevet was very important. Shevet was very important to them. If you look at the end of Masay, right, Matod and Masay, in this week's parsha, we have the story of Benot Tzlafchad. Okay, we've done that before. We'll do it again, I'm sure, another year, right? The daughters of Tzlafchad say, why should we not get a portion? And Moshe Rabbeinu comes back and says, you know, they're absolutely right, they should get a portion. At the end of Parshat Mas'eh, the people in their tribe, their Shevet, something, you don't remember? Mishpacha b'nei Gil'ad ben Menasheh. Okay? They say, it's not fair. Right, we're in Menasheh. The Tzlafchad was from Menasheh. They're going to get a portion in Menashe. But as soon as they get married and have a son, they're going to lose it. So our Shevet will become diluted. Not fair. You could say, who cares? Whatever. We got it. Tzlafchad's family got it. It's all fair.
To them it was important.
To them it was important. And what was the solution? They said, you're right. What was the solution?
Marry within the tribe.
Marry within the tribe, no problem. Right? Which is basically pretty much what.
They probably did that.
They all did that anyway. The idea of marrying outside the tribe, you know, was just unthinkable. And to be honest with you, until very, 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 very recently,
the same thing.
The idea of marrying outside your ethnic group, right? If you talk to people from the old country, the idea of a Galicianer marrying marrying, there were the two kinds of Polish Jews. What were they? They would disown you. Really, it was like terrible. You know, can you imagine somebody from Ephraim marrying Menasheh? Oh my God.
The world was bigger, in a sense.
Much bigger. The world was like huge.
No, I'm saying the reason I said so, you didn't have telephones, you didn't have the internet. So to go from one place to another to find a potential match, it's not like it is today where you log into Saw You in Sinai and you can find somebody, you know, from South Africa is connecting with somebody in Alaska type thing.
That's what I mean
about it being bigger then. So you tended, just because of the time.
How would you feel if your son came? How would you feel? Somebody out there, would you feel if your son came home with an Ethiopian girl, from beautiful Ethiopian girl, a Rhodes student? How would you feel?
I thought my son was going to marry
Ethiopian. None of us would care. None of us would care. Very beautiful, wonderful. She's a nice girl, lovely. What?
Genetic disease.
Right, exactly. No, believe me, you meet all of us 50 years ago. All of us. You know what I'm saying? Things have changed. What?
50 years ago, we weren't actually.
We were our predecessors, exactly.
But they've changed.
Attitudes have changed.
In terms of attitudes.
100%.
No, meaning the shift to, like, tribalism prevents that.
That's exactly my question. Tribalism does prevent that. Yes, a certain sense of pride in your tribe prevents that. Last source. Turn back to Parshat Balak, Perek Chafdalid. Pasuk Aleph, Parshat Balak. This is the last example.
Oh, look, you did
Aleph, Perek Chafdalid.
See?
Nothing is by chance. Each time Balak wants to curse the Jewish people, each time he goes, he wants to look at the Jewish people. He looks at them, sees something about them, and then he is inspired, hopefully, to curse them, but it turns out not that way. Okay? Bayar Bil'am. So this time, he saw, Ki tov be'enei Hashem levarech et Yisrael. God, again, wanted to bless the Jewish people. V'lo halach kipam be'pam likvad nechashim. His sorcery didn't work. Vayashat ha'midbar panav. He turned face toward the desert. Vayisa Bil'am et einav. He raised up his eyes. Vayar et Yisrael shochein lishvatav. He saw the Jewish people dwelling lishvatav, according to their shevet. Vatehi alav ruach Elohim. This vision of the division into tribes inspired him to prophecy. There's something about that. Let's look at Rashi for a second. Shochein lishvatav. There's two midrashim. First midrash is the one I'm more focusing on. Ra'a kol shevet v'shevet shochein le'atzmo ve'enam me'uravim. That divinely inspired him. Why? What was the second one? We'll just see the second. This is the more famous one. Ra'a she'ein pitrehem u'chubanim zeh k'neged zeh. Right, that's what we know about. Matovu o'alecha Yaakov. Right, that they afford each other privacy. That's not the pshat. The pshat is that what inspired him divinely is this notion that they divided into shvatim. Vatehi alav ruach Elohim. Meaning what? That the idea of tribalism was divinely inspired. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Bnei Yisrael, for some reason, to separate themselves according to their families, and assuming, of course, that we're correct, according to their unique attributes, according to their tchunot, according to their talents, according to their desires, according to their passions. And that there's a benefit to being distinct, to being separated, to living amongst yourselves. What?
It creates an because each tribe needs the other 11 tribes.
100%.
And there's no, in the story, in the Midbar, you don't hear any, there's no discussion of animosity between the tribes. The only time that division between the tribes is mentioned is when three people are singled out from Shevet Reuven in Machloket Korach. But other than that, they're referred to as a nation, and that's when they were most separate yet together, that there is no, the only division between tribes comes when they enter Eretz Israel.
Very good. So I think that's the idea.
At their very inception, meaning they are not born equally. Some are born from
but
the Shepot. Some are
not,
some
are
the first.
There's
of course there is. They threw Yosef into the boar. I mean,
after that, through this whole thing, when there are many stories of the being divided.
After Yitzhak Mitzrayim.
There are many stories of them being divided. This group said, let's go back to Mitzrayim, and this group said, no,
but
we
it's not
Israel.
According to Shvatim.
It's never by Shvatim.
Right. Okay, well, the point that I would like to make, that I think I'm trying to make, is that, no, that's great, that there is a concept of Achdut, there is a concept of Am, but within the Am, there's not something bad, there was something good about dividing up and separating each according to their own tchunot, each according to their own unique ability. You know, and I think that, really, the point you made at the very beginning is exactly the point I wanted to make. At face value, why do we divide up the Haredi and Sfaradi? And like, A, it's natural, but it could be said that because we create this community that's, you know, the word is sui generis, that's similar, that strengthens us. And then once you have strong communities, then those communities can unite together to create a more powerful nation. As opposed to
going against each other.
Dividing, trying to artificially combine different people in such a way as to dilute, I would say.
It's recognizing natural order.
It's a very difficult question. It just suggests to me, it's a very interesting question, that one gets the sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly wanted the tribes to be separate. He wanted them to be rewarded or afforded the land and the area that would most benefit and be most appropriate to them. And I think that it gives me, and I was thinking about this a lot, it gives you a different perspective on the way Israel is divided up. That sometimes we say, oh, they're over there, they create a ghetto for themselves. And we do it too. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. Because when you do, you create not only a ghetto, you create a greenhouse. Because when you have created an environment for certain attitudes and certain kedusha of a certain kind to grow, right? Then you can leave that and then affect one another in a positive way.
We are now self-divided, whereas the Shvatzim are divinely divided, and I think that's the difference maybe in the level of Achdut, that we are divided based on...
like Ruach HaKodesh.
Right, not Ruach HaKodesh. And here they're not divided based on religious division, you know, other than Shevet Levi.
All right. You know? First of all, Levi, it's very important to point out.
Levi doesn't have...
Levi is spread throughout the entire... Levi is spread throughout the entire congregation. All I'm saying is that you have, on the one hand, like everything, like you said, it's like, you know, like Amuna, Ruach HaKodesh, Ishtadlis, whatever. The same thing is true about division. A certain level of division is good, but beyond that, it tends to divide.
But if you look,
you know what I'm saying? So, like, where is the balance between good division and harmful division? I can't tell you. But on some point, the idea of tribalism in and of itself seems to be something that God always wanted and divined, because otherwise, He could very well have easily said, "You're all going to Eretz Canaan, Mishka Bibel. Have a good time."
But it seems that separation is a theme that it permeates the whole Torah, that separation is Kedusha.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's your field or your plants or your food or your relationship with your husband or your tribe or your, you know, there's that separation throughout.
Yeah. All right, so we're wrapping up a little early today. It's a good topic for discussion. To what degree do you know it's to be divided, and to what degree, where do you find ways to integrate?
And on what base?
On what base?
I don't remember who said it.
Right. Commonality. And the sorting hat is a good riddle. Where do we find the sorting hat in this week's parasha? You should ask your kids.
That's a great question.
I just think of it as the body is Am Yisrael, and the organs are the Shvatzim.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in a different place in the body, and they all need each other. They each work independently to do their own thing.
It would have had
to
be hierarchical.
But the body doesn't function. But there is a hierarchy even within the organ system.
That's what I'm saying. But that's a hierarchy based on genetics and not on achievements and what you do and what
you... But that is what the Shvatzim are.
I know, but I don't... That's
it's
not
very not 20th century. Very not 20th century.
No, it's not. So maybe that's why I'm having a hard time.
The we reward in right.
Do we go back? Like, are we going to go back to that? Or? But wouldn't it make sense to say, don't you think we're going back to that? Going forward?
I don't want to go back to that.
But... You don't know, because how do you know? And we'll leave it at that. All right. Next week, we wish Tanya a good summer. Next week, we're going to stop a little early. Next week, Be'ezat Hashem, Rechov Sar Shesh.
Wow, that's Sar Shesh.
So we'll see you then. Okay? Have a good week, everybody.